Okay, guys. I was asked to share my experience from taking the courses for the healing, taking these courses of like my future course will be about deliverance, and I was maybe 2016. 17, 18 was the time that I was introduced to, we can see like miracles and hearing on our eyes, and we can start doing this, but we need to be equipped and we need to be, to learn how to do it, even though we saw that in our eyes. But at some times I didn't even believe that this is a reality, and I was believing that this is only for, as I'm learning now on the history of the churches, I wasn't the only one believing on this. Like people that were like a very high rank in the church was believing the same, that miracles was only for the apostles or for the like it ends with the end of the apostle Paul, or at the end of the Bible, like maybe by year number 100 or something. Anyway, so I'm ending my physical healing too, and I was so excited because this was very interesting course than the first one, and I was introduced to stuff that maybe first time in my life. I am young, I'm like 36 now, so I didn't see that. So I passed the 50s, and still I found stuff that I didn't even hear about it with all the sermons and all the churches that I attended in my life. And so it was a little bit surprising, even like the history of the churches, like all the stuff that I was introduced in this course. So the course was very like raw, and the English language was so high. Even I was like, I did even my engineering in English, so I think I'm fluent in my English, but not in the vocabulary of this course. Like this course take from me hard time to understand the words, and I had my dictionary, I have every like in one phrase I can, what is that? And Dr. Clark is very fluid in English, and he's talking as people are native. He didn't know that we have international people that I can hear this. Anyway, so story short, after I learned about all the miracles of Jesus, and we did a lot of assignments, and then we discussed the cessationism, then we discussed the new age theory, and I learned about how yoga and massage and something called Reiki, that I was looking in the malls and plazas that there is healing by Reiki, and nobody knows what is that. And people goes and takes this healing, but it's not from God, it's a healing by the devil. Wow. And to be honest, I didn't know that the devil was healing. Like I know that only Jesus healed, but even the devil healed, and I was introduced in the like the Bible how many times the devil healed. And I'm not that good of doing references, but I know that somebody even asked for the devil first to get him to be healed. But anyway, so the last week in the physical healing too was about something called the open heaven. And I heard a lot about open heaven. I even prayed for the open heaven. And I said, wow, that's very good. I'm going to be shining on the assignment. Open heaven, like this is very good. Then I saw exactly what Randy was saying about the open heaven and the angelical intervention and healing. So this was the head of what we're going to learn in this week. So I'm going to discuss this very, very quickly. It's going to take maybe a conference to talk about that, but I know that you already was like introduced about this from from other people. But all what I'm going to say is from Dr. Clark's point of view, because for him it was a little bit a revelation of things that we didn't he didn't believe in. And anybody that he will hear what he's saying, he has to see it in real life, or he has to have also another revelation to understand exactly from where he's coming from. So what he was starting by a little story that there is a guy called Omar Cabrera, and this guy is from Argentina. He's like a very revivalist, and he did a lot of things. So anyway, he was sitting with him together, and they was discussing the church and how people are doing. So he asked him a question, and he said, "In North America, what do we miss? What's the problem in our churches?" And Omar told him, like, "You guys are understanding the Holy Spirit, and you know everything about the gifts, and you know everything about what's happening, but you are missing one thing. You don't pray for God to bring angels to your meetings." So anyway, so Randy heard that, and for 4 years he didn't even, so like, what is angels? Do we need angels? We have the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is enough. Why do we need angels? We don't need angels. So he start thinking and doing, and I was like, say, till he went to Brazil, and in Brazil, he was struck by stuff happening there that proved to him that there is angels in the meeting. And he starts seeing people that they see physically, the angels. So one time, one guy came to him, and he started talking to him and said, "Do you see what I see?" I said, "What do you see?" "Oh, I see angels, about 100 maybe in this ceiling."
Wow.
So Randy told him, "Okay, and what they're doing?" "Oh, they're just watching us in the meeting, but every time you pray and every time you ask for healing, they move around." "Okay, so keep me posted." So he came back and he told him, "Okay, what do you know what they're doing now? They come above every head and touch the head. And every time you go and pray and ask for healing, they go and fly and they touch." So it was very interesting for him to understand that there is something that he doesn't see. Doesn't mean that it doesn't exist, okay? So, story short, he starts understanding that some of what we don't see happen, and that's why there is some healing happening. So, fast forward, he went to a church in Brazil, and he saw about 9,000 people get healed from 10,000. So his ratio of 10% will be healed is reversed to 10% was not healed.
Wow.
And this time, the guy was showing something called the gladiators as angels. They have a kind of sword, and they were fighting with the other angels, which is the one third. They were clearing the heavens. Okay? So this was a very small introduction of how Randy discovered that there is angels. But at this time, he was so thirsty to understand, okay, why there is angels, and and by the way, we are not here to worship angels, yeah? We want to know why there is angels and what's happening. So I'm going to start with something called the three O's, okay? And for me, it was like a new three O's for me. I knew only one of them, which is omnipotence. And there is omniscience, and there is omnipresence. So all these big words means he has all power, and he knows all things, and he is everywhere. So this is our God. Okay? So if you have a God like that, why you need angel? You don't need angel. You don't need anything. But if I have the Holy Spirit, why do I need angels? Have you ever thought about that? He's saying that. The Father sent angels to Jesus to strengthen him. So when Jesus was tempted by the devil, Jesus prayed. Jesus was strengthened by one of the angels. So this means that angels even help Jesus in the flesh. So even the Son of God had angels come and help him. So Fast forward, I will not say what all the examples, but in the Bible, there is Jesus, Paul, Peter, Philip, and John were all in the Bible, and they visited by angels. And not because they asked, the angels came to them to help them in a situation that they need help. Okay? I'm not talking about the angel came to Mary and tell her about Jesus. So the angel, as a definition, is a messenger. Yeah, but sometimes Jesus God asked for the angel to go and do an assignment, and this assignment is for our help or our need. So Randy was saying something very interesting. One girl came to him and she told him, I had a dream. This dream was, she has something called dyslexia. She cannot read well. And she came to him, I get a dream. And this dream is, I saw an angel that came to operate me and rewire my brain. Wow. So he looked at her and said, okay, and what happened? Guess what? I'm healed. So she was healed by this operation. This girl, her name is Heather, she was 14 years old. She went home and her friend Monica, she has the same disease. So by the testimony, she told her, Monica, Jesus will help, will heal you. How is that? She prayed for her, and she got healed. Wow. So both girls at the same age were healed just with a dream that came. She believed the dream, and she prayed, and both of them were healed. So angels can come even as in a vision or in a dream to help people. So it was a little bit interesting because we always know that the healer is Jesus, God, Yahweh Rapha. But Jehovah use this angel. The angel doesn't heal, but Jehovah, he used them to heal. So he gives them the assignment, go and heal Rafi, go and heal XYZ. So God wanted to create angel. He didn't need them. This is what Dr. Clark said. He just wanted to create them. God wanted to create human beings. He didn't need us. He just wanted to do it. It is the same thing. Humans are the army and the angels are the air force. So if we are just on earth as an army, we have an air force above us, which is the angels. We both need to bring our acts together. So now we know that there is angels. We know that they act, they go, they help. So how are we gonna even activate or know exactly how are we gonna use them? Are we gonna pray for angels? No, we cannot pray for angels. Can we pray? Can we ask the angels to do us anything? No, anything have to be through Jesus. So I'm gonna read quickly verses to show exactly what I'm... Are you okay with me? Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a lot of verses, so I'm going to be very quickly, okay? So let's go to Genesis 28, 10, 11, 12. So in Genesis 10, 11, 12, Jacob was going to Haran, and then he was tired, he put his head on a rock, and he started dreaming, okay? So then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and it stopped reach the heaven. And there is angels of God were ascending and descending. Okay? Ascending and descending. So remember, ascending and descending means that they are going up and down. Okay? But from where? From the earth to the top of the ladder, which is?
Heaven.
Okay. So, ladder and heaven and earth. Like this was in Genesis. So I don't know what he learned, but it's interesting enough that we know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father, which is the heaven, which is the ladder, as was at the gate of heaven. This is the house, the throne, except through me. So now we can understand that this ladder is
Jesus.
Good. So when we know that this ladder is Jesus, we start thinking. So we have a ladder, that goes through Jesus, the angels going up and down. Okay. So, for there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus. So, I'm going to go to Jesus in the New Testament when he saw Nathanael. And he saw him, and you know the story about the fig, and he told him, oh, you because you see, you believe. Then he told him, very truly, I'll tell you, you will see heaven open and the angel of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. I don't know if he understand anything at this time, but Jesus knew exactly what was written in Genesis, and he knows exactly that he is the way, he is the ladder. So he's telling him that you're going to see the heaven open, and the angels will be ministering up and down, getting stuff from Jehovah to us through Jesus. So, it's very important to understand that in this dream, it was revealed for us the first time that there is something called open heaven. And then in the New Testament, we knew again about the open heaven. That as this open heaven is not an option for us. Once we accepted Jesus and we start praying, we need the open heaven because we need to know our assignment from Jehovah. And the time that we disconnected from Father, Abba, is the time that we don't know what's happening, because we don't know what are the assignments to us. We just do exactly what is we can pray, we can ask, but we don't know our inheritance. We don't know what happens at the cross. We don't know what Jesus did. We don't know what is atonement. Yeah. So when we know all this stuff, we know exactly our right and what exactly we will do. So that's why a lot of people, and I know that did a sermon, big sermon on that about, for example, the communion and the supper. People are taking this communion as an easy, which is the communion is to equip them with power. Okay? So he's saying, Dr. Clark is saying, do not let your sin keep you from the table of the Lord. Because in communion, the grace that comes to us is more than just underserved forgiveness. It is a grace of empowering presence to enable us to walk in holiness. To take it in unworthy manner does not mean you have to be perfect. Okay? It means you need to come forsaking your self-righteousness and your sin and receive in grace. So this means that at the time of taking my communion, I am already in the presence, and I need I need Jesus, which is the body and the blood. So in the dream, as Jesus is the ladder, when the cross fell into that hole, Jesus is the one who was crucified and opened heaven. He pierced heaven from earth towards heaven, and it was pierced because he had come down from heaven and was going to return to his Father. Okay, so what is open heaven? When heaven is open, there is activity between heaven's realm and earth's realm. When heaven is open, there are angelic beings ascending and descending. Jesus said to Philip, I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending. So, I didn't know that this also was a prophecy in Daniel 9, that the Son of Man will have this title. So this is Daniel 9, where it says, I saw one coming from the Ancient of Days, like unto the Son of Man. It was a messianic title. So a lot of prophecies about Jesus, I didn't know from Genesis. So the open heaven happens because of him. He is the connection we need to make. We are the body of Christ on the earth today. Where is the open heaven supposed to be? Over us, we should have an understanding that under this open heaven, there is angelic activity going on, whether we can see it or not. So, going quickly. So, if we go to Hebrew 1:14, so who here accepted Jesus in their life? So, all of us. So, we got salvation, and we accepted Jesus, and we were so happy that our names are written in
the book of life of Lamb.
That's so nice. So I'm going to spend about 120 years, then I'm going to go to be with Jesus. But anything happened to us when we got this salvation. So we hear at Hebrew, when Paul was telling them, are not all angels ministering spirits, ministering spirits, sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? So this means that once we got the salvation and we accepted Jesus, not only we're going to see that at the end when we go with Jesus, but at the time that we are here in earth, we're going to see ministering spirits or ministering angels. Okay? And it's very interesting that, as I hear Gergis saying that all the time, you have money at the bank, but you cannot even take it. You don't know even how to take it out. So we have people that serve, like creatures that serve us, called angels, but not everybody knows that he can pray and ask for this servant to come to him. We do it in a normal way. Accident happen, Jesus, send your angels. Or we have a problem, or for example, do you know how many angels saved me from this problem? But we don't know that this was a right or was something that we have it in our safe to use. So if we go at the same chapter to verse 7 on Hebrew, the angels have some appearance, which is, in speaking of the angels, he say he makes his angels spirits and his servant flames of fire. And from here, we are going to start to talk about the revelation, because who said that when we see fire, it's an angel? And when we feel wind, it's an angel. Because this is now going through different revelation to Randy. So in Psalm 103, 20, 21, praise the Lord, you, his angel, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey the Lord. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you, his servants, who do his will. 104, Psalm 104, 3, 4, the Lord wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent and lays the beams of his upper chambers on their waters. He makes winds his messenger, flame of fire his servant. He makes the clouds his chariot and rides on the wings of the wind. So now we have a proof that the angels can be a wind or can be a fire. But okay, did we see them? Myself, I was one time in one of Randy conferences, and all of a sudden, I'm an engineer. I know exactly from air will come, but all of a sudden, I saw like air, like in front of me. I feel it from my cheek to this cheek. And I said, oh, what's happening? People are moving in front of me. What is that? And I didn't know. And I thought maybe something happened in the machine, like startups, but nothing was happening. And now I know that one of the ways that the angels can come is as a wind. Acts 2:1-4. So I will not read all that, but at the time of the Pentecost, you know that all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. So sure, this is the Holy Spirit. But if you go one verse, at verse 1, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what it seemed to be tongues of fire that separate said separated. And if I think a little bit, I said, okay, Holy Spirit can come as wind, and Holy Spirit can come as fire. I will rephrase that. Holy Spirit will send an angel of wind, and Holy Spirit will send an angel of fire. And he will come and finish with changing, giving the like filling and the tongues and all that. So from here, it's a little bit interesting because people, the psalmist understood by the revelation of the Holy Spirit that this fire and this wind were angelic activity sent from God. This word of God is our menu of the wonderful things the Father has prepared for us because of the dream that was fulfilled by in Jesus that opened heaven. So when we go and see what in Luke saying, John answers them all, I baptized you with water, but one is more powerful than I will come. The straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to unite. He will baptize you with fire. The Holy Spirit and fire. He didn't say the Holy Spirit or fire. He didn't say the Holy Spirit. Like he used the word end. And this word end means end. So he will baptize us with Holy Spirit and he will baptize us with fire. It's not saying here Holy Spirit is fire. It's saying Holy Spirit and fire. And this is what Dr. Clark was saying, that we need to be very, we need to understand exactly what was written on this, because people will think is, okay, I will baptize you with fire, which is, it can be done, yeah, but it has to be the Holy Spirit using the fire, which the fire is not the Holy Spirit. So from where we came with this fire. So if you go to Isaiah 6. Okay, I'm finishing. There is an angel called Seraphim. You heard about them? So the angels, because it has him at the end. So single angel is Seraph. And the Seraph angel means fiery.
Fiery one.
Yeah, the fiery one. So then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongues from the altar. Okay, so where are these seraphim? The throne. They are there in the throne. And they are always in fiery. Okay, and they are used to cleanse the mouth of the unclean. So when there is a fire, and I'm going to tell you a lot of fire stuff. I even learned from Gergis that the church in the revival time had a fire, that the fire truck come and there is no fire, but they see the fire. Okay? So this is the fire, like the fiery tongues or the fire of the angels, that the seraphim always have an assignment from Jehovah, okay, to go with his fiery, and people will start seeing it like that. So in Exodus 3:2, there's the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. Yeah, because this is not the fire that we see like sulfur and oxygen. This is a fiery angel, okay? As they were walking along and talking together, this is in 2 Kings 2:11, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. This means that the two angels, the seraphim and another angel of wind, all of those angels came to take Elijah to went up to heaven. It's not like Superman. We are watching Marvels, and now the chariot is going, and all is fiery. No, like what Dr. Clark is saying, that we need to understand that when we saw stuff like that, there is angelical activity. It's not like So the last thing I want to say is, so the angels receive anointing at the throne. We are wired, he said that was so funny, We are wired at 110 volt because we are in North America, okay? But we came to 20, actually. And that's why when we got too close to God, we short out. You know how short out? Okay? Angels, I believe, which he was saying, are wired for 40. Okay? That's why they can enter into the throne room. And that is also why we must have and will need glorified bodies. Okay? Anyway, I thank God for such a wonderful plan of salvation. I thank him of the death of Jesus that made it possible. And that's my focus. And it is he whom we worship. And I am especially grateful that in Christ we can gain a fuller understanding of God's way through these powerful open heaven experiences. And he was saying, don't worship the angels. Do not do it. He's a fellow servant with you and with your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus, as saying in Revelation 19:10. So I was a little bit surprised on taking all these views for open heavens, but what I learned for the last 2-3 years is, even if I'm not with this doctrine or I don't understand it, I pray more for a revelation and more revelation, because it is a revelation. And some people can be okay, some people can, oh, you know what, yes, we know that there is angel, but what Dr. Clark was very, very sure about for us to understand is, when we are in a healing night, like the one that we were, and we pray for the Holy Spirit to come, and things happen near us that we don't understand, it's an angelic activity. And if we don't know, we have to know. So we better know how to pray. And when we pray, we say, come Holy Spirit, come. And or we pray and say, Jesus, I want you to like to come, or Holy Spirit, come. We have to understand that we can say to Holy Spirit and ask for the angelical or our servant, angels, to come and do exactly what they have to do. They come, they will have their scroll, and the scroll will be for your assignment. Then the angels will stamp the scroll. There is a lot of reading about it, yeah? But at the end of the day, I feel that it was a shame for me that I don't understand what all these verses and how it's connected, and like it's very, very so I pray for you to, I think, take this and put it on your prayer time, and we'll see you next. Thank you.